So focus on customer service augmentation that customer will value. That's a new section that we are entering. Here it enables you that how do you increase your value perception? So how do you improve customer service augmentation? How do you offer augmented service delivery to the customers? Companies, when they augment their product, okay, to increase certain revenue and may create additional streams of revenue. So what happens? Company, when augments the product, it may be that augmentation will either give you an additional streams of revenue, or it may be that augmentation will just lift the utility of the product. So this product will start getting more preferred use, or volume will increase. So there are two ways the augmentation may help you. Many times you see that they offer you this service as an optional this thing, or they offer you some additional services, a bundle, etc. So when they do that, they are not only getting revenue for that new idea, but even the existing product benefits. Consumers may preferentially select an augmented product, okay, when they have an option, okay, capture and hold consumer attention. So if you have an augmentation which is really valuable, consumers will then pick and choose naturally that, okay. Consumers weighing a choice between two similar options may even in such case pick up something which is augmented. So similar products means many companies give laptop with warranty, but if suppose you come out with a better warranty, this thing, then consumer will pick you up. Same section, in any augmented product, the customer could feel that the extra features makes a better deal. So augmentation should be such that consumer values it. Perceived value is high for consumer or relevant for the consumer. Competitive differentiation, consumer attach extra value to such an extreme packaging. So maybe the very sound packaging, how you package the laptop so that it doesn't get benefit, or the advertisements, or the customer-oriented service that you are going to offer will really create a competitive differentiations, and customer value that. This is not just about satisfying the customer and exceeding their expectations, but also about surpassing them. So drive is always to surpass. Now surpass, you can do it only when you know the expectations well. So when you buy a car, so there's a car part of the augmented product would be the warranty. So how the warranty, if you are told that instead of 1 year we are offering now 3 year warranty, then that's an augmentation. The customer service support offered by the car, you are told car will be delivered at home, or the customer service is available at the home site for certain repairs and all, or for certain services and all, then that's an augmentation. So now let's understand this essentially through the table. So here's a table. I'm trying to show you the real understanding. Left-hand side is various products or services. Then they are vertically, you see core products, actual product, and augmented product. Ford Focus is an automobile. So they offer core product as freedom to travel. Actual product is a motor car or a specific category, if you say the SUV. And augmented product is free finance, insurance, or free interest, free finance, or say free insurance, likewise. Spanish holiday. So core product they offer is a relaxation. Actual product is 2 weeks in a resort near the island. And augmented product, they will also give you holiday insurance or a medical insurance during your travel. Budget or no frill airlines, EasyJet or Ryanair, etc., gets you moving cheaply. So what they actually offer is an airline journey. And augmentation could be food brought during your flight. They may offer you attractive package for a food during the flight. So that's how focus on customer service augmentation that customer will value. Similarly, as I have explained in the earlier table, these are additional three examples which helps you understand what is core product, actual product, and the augmentation. So not getting into explaining them one by one. Now we try to understand planning the augmented services. How do you introduce augmented service? So to apply this customer service effectively, a firm must first develop an overall strategy. So augmentation cannot be ad hoc. What it tries to tell you that first must have overall service strategy in place. And augmentation is one of the component, is one of the plan that one can introduce overall under the service strategy. Augmented customer service are extra element. So it what it means, without this also you could sell the product. However, this is done for creating a competitive standing, you know, differentiation. So in case of a retailer, again at a retail level this may differ. Upscale retailer would be able to give more customer service than the discount retailer. He will not give home service or home delivery, or if you buy a large quantity, you are not able to carry yourself, he will not give you support. Upscale, like large retailer may tell you, "Haan, ma'am, kal deliver kar denge." So that's the advantage. So augmentation, again, you have to see what network that you have and can they help you. So one of the topic under this is follow-on products and what is the need for it. Augmentation also can enhance, you know, and augmentation can be enhanced at various levels. While here, what we are trying to tell you is that the supplier can add value even using the network, you know, to his service. So there are many value addition that the network bring for you. This is what automobile companies do. Okay, so that's where dependency and the bonding improves. And as they say, addiction is not always negative. And then that addiction compels even the manufacturers to look for follow-on products. So like iPhone guys, if iPhone doesn't come out with something new within a short span, they feel really restless. That's the example even out here. If you make an iPhone user withdraw unknowingly, he will have some psychological trauma as if he's experiencing. So to boost the loyalty, okay, and to move customers to a great length, a repeat purchase behavior can be seen creating a form of product addiction. So many times the manufacturers take their product to a level where people are glued to you, you know, even in repeat and all, you see that it is more out of love and addiction for you. Companies can go far and beyond customer satisfaction. So those who are able to create that kind of an addiction are the one who not only gun only for the satisfaction, they far more exceed the satisfaction. They more far more surprise the customers by making customer feel that, oh, these people know me so well. Okay, so that's the intense bonding that they develop. And therefore, the follow-on product plays area there, plays that part, which is so critical to retain and create a relationship and loyalty. So now we get into understanding outside in view while developing a service product. So outside in view while developing a service product. So far, probably we looked at more of a product. Now, heavily product-oriented organizations introduce a component of just additional service. Okay. So like, for example, when you buy a curtain, supplier offers you free stitching and installation. So essentially you are buying a furnishing, supplier just adds value. So that's a part of the service. However, in the service industry, services are intangible. Okay, so the challenge is to tangibilize. Now that's where tangibilize the intangible, where organizations can create a service value. They create a service value by offering the customer, either the name that is recognizing. So how you have done your branding, okay, or get the understanding what is being offered. So they have to convey to the customer what service product that are you offering. Customers should see what's in it for him. So likewise, DHL Express Cargo Courier, when they talk about that as a product from a service provider who essentially is into logistics, this product comprises and delivers what? Fast handling and delivery of the cargo. Express Cargo Courier. FedEx, okay, they have services like FedEx Express. So the name suggests that it is a specific way of express delivery. FedEx Ground, so that is movement through ground. FedEx Logistics, that combines the complete supply chain. FedEx Freight, that is managing of the freight services, etc. And FedEx Office, so office supplies and office documentation movement. So that's what. So service guys have to see that the product that they develop and communicate should themselves represent what value that they are offering. So one element also differentiates the service from the product is the way it is delivered. Service and service consumption happens with the service factory, where the customer and service provider come together. Service product is therefore a sum total of design service product plus the way the design is delivered. So your having a service is one thing. DHL courier talking about admission form delivery, that is a service product, is one thing. Really they deliver it in that safest mode in the required time with that 100% stamp of assurance, that's a service delivery. So both are different. So that one need to understand. A service product comprises of all the elements of the service performance, all the elements, that is physical and intangible. They both create a distinct value for the customer. So that needs to be weaved into your service product outside in view when you want to develop. Okay, so now just give you a quick overview using one of the 5-star or 7-star hotels structure of outside in view of the service product. So core is luxury overnight stay experience. And then there are core delivery process. So to make this thing happen, the actual product is the different types of room they have offer to be able, customer to be able to utilize this service. Few things that has to be in place. Core delivery process. So scheduling, you can't book two rooms for the same night for two distinct customers. So you have to have a rugged scheduling, room occupancy, determination methods. Nature of process, so all the process has to be well aligned. Booking through online, booking through phone call, booking through email, they are all coming differently. So online, there is an app, the customer can see that this is empty and book it. Now email guy doesn't know that and he still writes for that day and time. So now how will you integrate all this different way the customer goes for the booking? So you have to have a process, then the check-in, then the room service, all those things. What is the role you want customers to play? So there are many roles customers can, one is app download and book online, go through the website and book things, etc. When they are at the hotel, order through the room service line, etc. Or, there is automated system, so use that. So these are the ways you expect customers to play a role in the service level. At what class, what level your service be. So they have to be aligned with the positioning that you have created. So now that is a core delivery process. There are supplementary services that makes the whole experience. So these are the supplementary services. So this is starts with reservation. So there has to be a proper reservation process. Then parking he should get when he comes. Smooth check-in, availability of a captain or a porter to move his luggage. Meal when he wanted, varieties of the meal, availability of a TV, a room service, Wi-Fi availability. So this is comprises of the supplementary service. So you see outside in view while developing a service product. So they have to not only take care of the core, they have to develop the basic product or the augmented product, but for which the new thing in the service product, this thing is core delivery process has to be in place. And add to that, lot of supplementary services are required to make this one experience come alive. Okay, so now we are entering into, after understanding the whole aspects of augmentation and then in the service how the things are, service marketing, we come to understanding of the different buyer nature. So one is relationship buyer, the second is the transaction buyer. The relationship marketing theory supposed to have revolved around few aspects, three of them. The first aspect is the financial incentives, in which the customer receives rewards or discounts in exchange for their repeat business. So that's the first principle. The second is social bonding between the company and the customers. You create a connect, you create a need for each other to remain connected. So for example, Nestle, if you go, there are like almost 25 communities, expecting mother, fitness freak. So, and then they do things for them. So that's why the bonding is becoming strong. The third aspect is a structural interaction. So structurally, how are you related? Whether it is a very fragile or whether it is a loyalty level bonding that you have created. So that's the relationship marketing, three aspects that matter. So continuing our understanding, the relationship marketing importance resides in what makes the relationship marketing tick. is the bonding that is developed between the customer and the company, and that bonding leads to long-term relationship, long-term connect, where in a period of time, the seller receives customer's lifetime value. Customer is going to continuously buy from him, repeat purchase, cross-sell is possible, customer gets upsell, you know, start buying higher order items, etc. So, their habits, their preferences, their likes are known. Therefore, one can plan also very well. The inventory management can be planned, etc. And encourage repeat and referral. So, entire relationship is promoting each other. While relational buyers consider the money, they also realize that the time is better spent doing something other than shopping around. So, they look at how you are adding value because of their I win and you win orientation. They are honest, open and pleasant to deal with. So, relationship buyer, the bonding is such that you like to deal with them. So, overall, because they are not only money self-centric, they see the value also that you offer. So, that's the fundamental about relationship buyer. Previous slide and this, we have understood that very well. How can you hang on to the relationship buyer? Now, that's the tactics that one can do to have those relationship buyers remain with you for very long. So, first of all, you must know who they are. Is there a system in place that allows you to determine who is your repeat buyer, who is believing in you? So, that has to be in place. Then establish a communication beyond just a business, communication that matters. Bring those things for him that will enlighten him, that will facilitate his understanding, etc. That will make a difference in his life. And once that happens, he will see the value that you are creating. Use your best customer service people with them. Bring out trained, skilled, naturally qualified, naturally enthusiastic people to serve customers. That should be brought before. What before means you must have an eye to identify them in your team and then let them serve such relationship customers. That will create a unique bonding. That bonding is though with the employee, but it is very warm with the brand. Build equity in the process. So while you do this entire thing, keep developing your equity quotient. The more switching costs should be added so that it is difficult for customers to move away from you. And don't stress on price. Every time, don't talk to them as if you are offering them cheap and cheap and cheap, etc. Keep creating value, price will become secondary. Okay. So there's an example, this thing been shared, this is from the book. The Toyota Motor is a perfect example of how a company can be extremely successful when forming a strong alliance and the relationship with their suppliers. The Japanese team, okay, Keiretsu, meaning a network of business that owns stake in one another as a means of mutual security, is something that Toyota lives and breathes on a daily basis. So here, it is not one-sided. Those who all have a stake invest in that. So that's a mutual security. They will all look for their interest not being dwindling away. So Toyota realized the importance of supplier relationship. Okay, that's also on the relationship side. When they first started and they have maintained a Keiretsu still to this date, they practice this even today, not only in Japan, but across the world where they are present. So the key to Toyota's success is the practice of dedicating supplier assets to the customers. This reflects, Keiretsu also reflects, they are committing to serve customers. Toyota does this several ways, including locating plants near the customers, sending its own engineers to work at their site, and investing in a customized physical assets. So provide the distributor, dealer and the other stakeholders support that will enable them to cover the last mile in an order to exceed customer expectation. Since Toyota and the customers are sharing information and technology, they both benefit. Okay, information is a power, and when shared, companies can grow together and become more efficient. They continuously improve the way, because exchange of information customers will have an updated understanding about you. If there is any gaps, customers will come back to you. So you will have a mutual interest. So that transparency, integrity, the continuous improvement will become the way of life. Now, after understanding so much about the relationship buyers, we move into understand the transaction buyer. It's a choice. Transactional buyers are concerned about their only today's purchase. They do a lot of research before they're coming to you. Okay, they investigate your product. They have considered buying from other sources also. Okay, they're buying and consider himself or herself as a product expert. They have acquired so much of a knowledge that they feel that they are capable to decide what is good for them. They are not concerned about service or having a trust or the relationship with you. So their only interest is, what am I getting today? They are concerned primarily about the price that you offer and the terms of sale, terms of payment, various aspects. Okay, they have all the catalogs and know all the competitors' prices. Okay, and they are willing to afford to wait. They will tell you, they will give you time, come back to me with the great offer. So they are willing to wait also. So that's on the transaction buyer. They take pride in getting the best deal. So they feel that they have cracked the biggest puzzle. They've got the best of the deal and they take pride. They talk to people. So they enjoy negotiating. They want to be hard bargainer and that they enjoy. Okay, and then they try to extract something or the other, either in the form of a concession from the salesperson. They will milk the salesperson for free information. So they sweet talk to him. They obtain all the technical data which they may not be knowing, etc. Because of their I win, you lose approach, they have no loyalty. That's another part of transaction customer buyer. So they are only for the day, they are only for a particular deal. They milk all information and technical data, and overall, because it's like he wants to get the best, okay? They have no like loyalty. They are not your loyal customers. They are the salesperson's worst nightmare. So salesperson considers him a nightmare because not only they take long, but they provide him not enough revenue. So the salesperson feels that had he invested this time in other customer, he would have made more sales. So those kind of frustrations come in. So that's the transaction buyer. Transaction buyer gives you very little profit. Since they only buy discounted items, the margin of the sale that you get from them are far lower. It may not be even worthwhile to keep a relationship with such buyer. When the products are on sale, they attract small additional group of transaction buyer. Many times transaction buyers are a promotions freak, and so they only buy what is on promotion. When their competitors' products are on sale, the same group will jump there, leave you vulnerable, okay, because that other group is offering them a better deal. So they are promotion freaks. So they can be driven away any which ways. So that's what the transaction buyer is. So just to understand this little better, some more case slate has been provided. Walmart is an increasingly powerful company. They are, even in world, any part of the world, they supply the cheapest, as they claim, and which is true. So the sole purpose of their business is to bring consumers the lowest possible price on the product that they trade in. So they put pressure on existing suppliers. So they create a pressure on supplier, else they find another supplier willing to give them at the lower price. This is known facts, okay? They may take the business overseas and import it. So they may, even if the logically, locally not feasible, they may consider total cost of taking this from elsewhere in the world, etc. But they want to, it's obviously because of their overall way of business. They want to offer cheap, so they themselves procure cheap. Walmart will do whatever it takes to get the lowest price. So it's not only the way currently the point has been explained out here, that exploitativeness. Walmart has invested heavily in information technology, in infrastructure that cuts down their wastage, that cuts down their unproductive time. The way they supply chain manage their all movements are far superior, because one is they have a volume on their command. So today they even have a working agreement with this various mobile company that they will only place an order, but they will tell you 50, this, you know, iPhone 10 or 14 should go to India, 100 to Pakistan, likewise they will. So that the manufacturer of the mobile phone will do, because they are getting an order of say 5,000 every 15 days from them. So likewise, this is just an example. So they do this very well. Walmart will do whatever it takes to take the, give an offer or the best possible rate to the customer, even at the expense of the supplier. So the supplier is of secondary nature for them. So that's also a transaction relationship with the supplier. So friends, with this, we completed this chapter. Thank you.